Good morning and welcome to Game Slackers on 101.5 UMFM.
The radio.
It is a show on the radio and we talk about video games on this particular show.
The radio. Oh, Lord.
Oh, boy. Squeaky chairs.
I know that chair. I was just like, oh, no. Chair, why?
Oh, no. So, do you like video games, Alice?
No.
Well, then the show's over. Goodbye, everybody. Yeah, that was our show for the week.
I feel we've done that joke already, but
I don't even think we've done that joke before.
Nobody likes video games. No.
So, what have you been playing in the last couple weeks since you were last on?
I played a bunch of games.
Okay.
I beat several of the... I've talked about it before. The Rusty Lake, Rusty Roots... I forget, they're called something actual, but they're like the Cube Escape Paradox games, and they're quite neat, and I like them because I like me a story point-and-click game. Although these are very, like, they're a little convoluted, and it's a little like, I don't know what I'm even supposed to do a lot of the time, so I definitely cheat. I will say that the people who made the game have put out walkthroughs because I guess they realized that their game was hard. But I beat two of those and they're cool. I really enjoyed them. But yeah,
they're worth getting on the iPad you're playing them on, right?
Yeah, I believe they're available for other things, like they're definitely on Steam. But yeah, they're fun. Like if you like that sort of game, I would say check out the free ones first because they're easier but fairly similar to what the other ones are. The other ones are like more story heavy but also harder.
Can you give us a general recap of what these games are about?
Okay.
Well, it's been a while since we've talked about them.
I know, so but they're just like extra convoluted. They're just extra weird. So, well, Rusty Lake is about you, the character, go back home because your mother has died for some reason. And it's sort of like almost like the retelling of the plagues. Like there's... seven plagues that happen.
Okay, biblical plagues?
Yes.
So frogs.
Yes.
Starvation, blood from the sky.
Yes.
Fun.
Yeah, it's neat. And then there's like another one. And it kind of reminded me of the Wicker Man kind of esque. If you've ever seen, I'm going to say the original Wicker Man and not the Nicolas Cage version.
The Nicolas Cage version's kind of funny to watch.
I guess so.
If you're into bad acting.
If you like to hurt yourself. If you like to watch things that, like, make you, like, go, oh, why did I spend 2 hours? Then, yes, the Nick Cage Wicker Man is worth that time. Regardless. The other one is Rusty... not Lake...
Rusty Roots, wasn't it?
Yes, Rusty Roots. And that one is
about...
I listen
to you sometimes.
It's okay. They sound familiar. Rusty Roots, which is about... Basically, it's like about two brothers and they were making the elixir for eternal life or something. And it's sort of like really like kind of a crapshoot where you'll make the thing, but you might die if you drink it. Or you might live forever. So one of the brothers dies and one of the brothers lives. And the other brother's like, don't worry, bro. I'll raise a family of at least 10 descendants so that I can bring you back to life. So basically, you go through the lives of these people and you sort of are collecting their body parts to inevitably bring your brother back to life.
You'd think after like 10 generations of descendants, you'd get more emotionally attached to one rather than your one brother.
No.
Well,
not at all.
Then I have a skewed idea of what family is.
I guess so. This family is like, it's interesting because it does sort of deal with, it's like, it's dysfunctional, but it's also sort of dysfunctional by design because it was like, we started this family kind of too. So my brother could live again because he got the short end of the stick. In the drinking of potions.
But what happens if he drinks the potion and just, you know, goes again? Like, you drank the potion once. What if you drink the potion again and you die again? You're not going to be able to live forever. You may have to raise another family of 10 descendants just to try it again.
That's a good point. I'm not sure what they were, like, going with. Like, yeah, that is a good point.
What if it's like a 1 in 10 chance and you have to do this for 100 times?
I do know that for some reason he does become immortal after this because there's Mr. Crow and Mr. Owl. Like, they appear in other games, and this is sort of just like their backstory, I guess, kind of. Their very long, convoluted backstory, but they're interesting.
Okay.
Like, yeah. I assume he does end up somehow immortal. Don't know how, but that's how.
But that's how.
Yep.
So, I've spent the last 2 weeks playing Yakuza Kiwami, which was one of our free PlayStation Plus games that I'm just getting to now because this is like a year and a half old since we've had it.
Oh, really?
Oh, we've had it for a while.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I did start it once and ended up putting it down because I just wasn't in the right mindset to be dealing with heavy, dramatic storyline.
Really? It's not that dramatic.
Hold on.
Okay.
This is the initial two chapters, and I put it down, and then picked it up on your advice.
It's the initial one chapter. You didn't even get past the first chapter, Megan. I know this.
Okay, fine.
I know this because I got past the first two chapters.
I didn't know what I was in for.
Because it's super easy to skip through most of it.
Yeah. I didn't know what I was in for playing it the first time. I didn't know what I was getting myself into the second time. And now I'm not even getting past the fifth chapter because there's so many mini games.
Mm-hmm.
I am highly enjoying just this first part of a game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's feeding this whole drive that I have to collect everything and complete everything.
I think you're at least halfway through. Like,
I am like a third of the way with collecting all the stuff.
Well, that's not the game, Megan, story-wise. That's not what we're...
Oh, story? Yes.
Yeah, I'm not really talking about that. Like, come on.
Oh, okay, well, game-wise, I'm doing pretty dang good, I think.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, like, you're far through. You're not like at the beginning of the game by any means.
No, but I'm still like, I'm not proceeding because there's so much for me to do still.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
And it's fun. The main thing for me is this is super fun. It was initially the PlayStation 2 game that they remade for the PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
And By the name of Yakuza. And they've upgraded the sound quality. They've upgraded the visuals by a lot. So it looks like a genuine PlayStation 4 game. Because it is. And you can go around this whole town just playing mini games, doing fetch quests, picking fights with gangs on the harsh streets of Tokyo.
Wow.
And it's just... I am enjoying this so much that I think when we get the chance to, I'm going to try and pick up the other games.
Mm-hmm.
And you started playing it too.
Yep.
What do you think?
It's fine.
It's fine?
Like, I get it. I get it. Like, here's the thing. I think it's just, I think the story isn't as engaging as maybe I want it to be. And I get that there's like a lot of, it looks fun. But ultimately, that's not the kind of game I want to play anymore kind of thing. Like, it's not bad. And the gameplay isn't bad either. I think some of the fighting isn't amazing. And there's not a lock-on, which is kind of weird. And I feel that it can, like, mess up fights a lot. But, like, it is fun. It's not, like, I think... Ultimately, like, if you wanted to play a game that was like Shenmue but isn't Shenmue because that's not accessible and Shenmue's not really fun, this is like Shenmue but it's fun.
Pretty much. And just to give our listeners out there a general idea of the story, if you have not played it before, you play a member of the Yakuza named Kiryu.
Yep.
And you have a best friend named Nishiki and another best friend named Yumi, who is your love interest. And this takes place in the early 90s? Mid-90s.
Yeah, 1995.
There you go. Thank you. And you are just getting yourself ready to start leading your own Yakuza family.
Yeah.
You have your whole life ahead of you, becoming a tough boss in an organization. And then Nishiki goes and... offs your big boss because of reasons, and you take the fall for him and go to jail for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you get expelled. So you're not blacklisted, but you are definitely not allowed to be a part of any Yakuza family anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it does have some soap opera-ness to it. That
I don't care about.
I like it. I'm enjoying. I like it.
Yeah.
I want to see what happens.
No, for sure. You probably already know what happens because you spoil yourself for things.
I want to see it play out, though.
Sure.
Spoilers don't hurt me because I still want to see how this happens.
Sure. I just think, I'm not really invested in the story at all. I do think gameplay is great, but yeah. For me, I do have to at least like the story.
Mm-hmm. That's understandable.
Yep.
Totally understandable. So yeah, Yakuza, it is not that, it's not that bad. It's a good game. It's a good little remake.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, what's new in game news?
Oh, well, I was like, I also played, and we also got and played, well, I played Detroit Become Human.
Oh, boy, right. Yeah. How did I forget that we got that?
Yeah, I was like, what
already?
Do you,
yeah. Yeah, so what do you think of Detroit Become Human?
It is the best David Cage game.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing. I actually found myself, like, it's such a sad thing because this game could be good and it could be enjoyable. But it's not. It's neither of those things. Like, it's good technically in certain aspects, but it's such a weird game because, like, I managed to beat this game in probably less than 10 hours. And so ultimately that feels like a short game for me.
Especially in this day and age when most games are ranking about 40 plus hours.
Well, okay, depending on what we're talking about. For this game, I feel it's short in terms of just sort of what we're given. But I get the reason why it's short is because you're supposed to play it a bajillion times. And, like, you're supposed to, there are different outcomes, 100%. Like, I've watched walkthroughs of this game a couple times because, once again, I've stated this. There's no way I was going to pay money for this game. And after having played it, I would have been very mad to have played 80 plus Canadian dollars. Like, for people in America, it's cheaper, but I wouldn't have paid, like, the 60 US for it either. I don't think it's worth that much. Maybe a $30 game, maybe. And that's kind of too bad because you can see, like, there is a lot of tech work behind this. Like, there's motion capture, there's facial capture, there's voice work. Like, there's a bunch. Like, the people who are the characters in this were actors that they've motion captured and all that stuff and then turned into a video game.
It looks like it is a beautiful game to
look
at.
Yeah, it looks nice. Yes, it's a nice looking game. But ultimately, it is a game that tells too much instead of showing, like, which is the thing you never want to do in most things. You want to show, not tell. In video games, in comic books, because otherwise it's boring.
You have to assume that your audience is smarter than they are.
Well, video games especially, and even comics, use a shorthand, you know, of cutscenes or whatever, which we as viewers, or even movies do this, obviously, we as viewers understand that, yes, scene is ending, therefore something else is happening now, you know? So instead of watching somebody do every single household chore, you just have them start doing one household chore and then fade away to them being done household chores because that makes sense rather than having to watch a person do household chores because that's boring. People don't usually want to do that. I guess there's a special niche on, like, YouTube for people who like to watch people clean up. I get that. But in a video game where it's not, like, this isn't
what the
video.
It's Mary Kondo the game.
Well, I'm like, that's not what this video game is about. And I will say in a lot of this video, like, there's two separate scenes where you, as the androids, have to clean. And is just bizarre. And you have to do, like, you know, you have to pick up everything. You have to do every action. And it's very tedious, and it doesn't show me anything. I learned, you can learn the controls, like, it doesn't take long to learn the controls because it is a series of touch, like, it, or what is it?
Not quite quick time.
They are quick time. Sometimes it is quick time events. Sometimes there are, 100%.
Passive actions? No.
Kind of. Well, but the way you interact with things is you hold buttons usually, or you use the knob to, like, swoosh around or something. Yes. So ultimately, I think the gameplay is mostly boring. The only times it's interesting is when you are doing the Connor and Hank stuff. Connor is the robot that I think most people have seen if they know of Detroit Become Human. He's the white guy android. And he is undoubtedly the most interesting and enjoyable character in the whole thing. And it ultimately boils down to the fact that Brian Deckard, who plays him, went off script, of and which probably made David Cage really mad, which is hilarious.
Good.
But, yeah. But, and, well, probably also made David Cage really mad when, like, Connor is a huge hit. Like, he is the most popular part of the franchise, and with good reason, because he's the best character. He does the title, and he does feel like the main character, whereas, like, the other main characters feel very, very secondary to his story, even though they try to pigeonhole, like, Marcus. So who is the
second male protagonist?
Well, I would even say he's supposed to be the primary one, because he is the android that leads the revolution. And he's, like, probably the most important character in the story, but he's, like, the most...
He's supposed to be the most heroic of them.
He is, undoubtedly. But he's the most boring. And he's not very interesting. He's boring, and the way, like, I guess the guy who played him, I don't really enjoy the way he played him, or just the way that it was cut, because Marcus seems very weird in his, the actions you choose for him, like, seem to sort of go against what the actual cutscenes later will be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't quite merge with what you've chosen. So it just kind of feels weird and wishy-washy. There is also the huge part of the fact that they use, like, parts of Martin Luther King's speech. So they have, like, at one point, the androids, they save some androids, but also they tag a place with a whole bunch of slogans, and one of them can be, "I have a dream." You can also, later, while you're marching down the street in an android protest, you can also say, "I have a dream," I'm pretty sure. And it's just very blatant, heavy-handed.
Yeah.
Like, for another example, like, I've already brought this up before, but there's also a lady named Rose, who's a black lady, who helps androids go to Canada, because apparently in Canada, androids are free there, or there are no androids or something. Like, regardless, and the thing is, androids are put at the back of the bus, you know, that's where android... It's just very heavy-handed, especially in a place like Detroit. And it's just sort of like David Cage is like, he has this world where he's imagined racism is automatically gone. And now we're just racist against the androids, you know? Regular racism is gone. Now we just all hate androids, you know? Problem solved. So it's just sort of like, it's very ignorant of its locale. And just sort of like the history, like, even at one point, androids are put in concentration camps, basically. So it's very heavy-handed, over the top, not great, and, like, it's tone deaf, especially. Yeah.
Especially with right now situations
happening. Oh, yeah. It's just... Well, this, like, I guess this game came out, like, it did come out a year and a bit ago. But it's not great. The context of it isn't great. It ignores cultural context, and it's just very weird. I wish there's a lot of sort of things that you think would have happened in this sort of situation, I guess. But apparently it all takes place within like a couple days, which I also kind of thought was weird. Yeah. Regardless, the best parts are Hank and Connor. And if this game was literally a buddy cop thing where they go hunt down bad androids and, you know, Connor learns to be more human, that would be fine and perfect. Like, there would be nothing else you sort of need.
So we want iRobot the game.
I would love iRobot the game. I love iRobot.
iRobot was good.
Like, well, are you talking about the book or the movie? I liked both. You can.
I'm
you
talking
can yell
mostly about the movie because okay. I haven't yet read the book.
Okay, I was like, you can yell at me later, but I liked both. But yeah, I think, and that's the thing, is the most successful parts in something like Heavy Rain were the more actiony parts that were sort of detective-y. And I will say Heavy Rain had a more detective slant. Like, almost every character was like trying to do some kind of detective / investigative work or looking for something. Whereas this game is like, we have Kara, who is, her role is to be the mom android who has to get this child out. And then Marcus, his role is to be the revolutionary leader. Whereas Connor is just sort of his role. He's supposed to track down deviants, but he also interacts with a human more than any other people do, you know, like, you can obviously, there are options in this game to like very much, you can, I'm sure that human can die real easily. You like Hank, I'm pretty sure. But also Connor can die. Connor comes back, though. Other characters can die, but they won't come back. I will let you know that right now. Don't try to let your other characters get killed unless you want to. I feel there must be trophies.
There are trophies out for there letting, for not letting all your characters make it to the end, which you did a really impressive thing and actually yes. maintained all of your characters to the end.
Yes, I did not know. Well done. Yes, I was in the top 8% of people who've played this game. And this is the first time I played the game, not first time I watched it, but I did not know I could keep every character alive. So that's something, if you want to keep every character alive, like quote-unquote main characters, you can. Even the ones you think you might have lost. Like I, for example, Simon. Every character can be saved. And even Luther, who I, for sure, they thought were going to sacrifice him because, you know, he is the black man character that is the protector of the white lady character and the child. I thought that would be a pretty, but you can keep him. And I was very happy. I had a very happy ending in Detroit Become Human for mostly every character, kind of. Yeah. Yeah. No. Pretty much everybody was happy. Like, I feel it's a little lackluster. Once again, a little sad it was short. As short as it was, the Connor and Hank parts are the most fun because that's when you get some like character development, because Connor, you can make Connor like a cold robot, but you can have that option to like quote unquote go against his programming and be sort of sassy or funny or like a little bit of a dink towards Hank, or like, yeah, it's cute.
You can be a jerk, so
a little bit, yeah.
What I did find while watching you play this, because I did watch a little bit, was yes. The fact that their relationship was so much more natural than Alice and Kara's relationship and Marcus's relationship with all of his, his deviant,
his friends, yeah, his friends that he can. Marcus parts are like, they're only kind of fun because they're like one of the more actiony parts. Kind of sometimes, but I played a big pacifist because once again, I play the video game where I'm very nice to everybody because if I hurt people's feelings, it makes me feel bad in the video game.
Oh,
no, in real life.
Yeah,
I know. But this game is fine. I do. It's sadly David Cage's better game. It does still include his regular tropes of, like, unfortunately, a lot of women beating, women death,
Lots of misogyny.
Lots. And he's also amped it up with even, like, you can, because there is a child character in this.
So child harm.
Yes. And there was very much controversy when this, like, there was a trailer that dropped that showed this very much. You can let the little girl get killed, which ultimately ends Kara's path because, once again, that's her only purpose in life. But in people were sort of like, that's not great. And it isn't great. Like, it's just sort of like David Cage. Gosh, you know, like, we didn't want, you know, when we said, like, we wanted less lady abuse, we didn't mean we wanted more of a different kind. You know?
David Cage, no.
Yeah. So it, ultimately, like, these games could be really interesting and great if David Cage wasn't attached to them. It's very sad that that's, like, and he won't, I won't say this, he won't ever not be attached to them. Unless they ultimately kick him out. But I think he probably, you know, maybe he owns some kind of technology that makes these possible. But I feel it could be pretty easily replicated. Like, this, they just look good. You know, there isn't that much difference between, you can do a branching path in a lot of things.
He really does just want to be taken as a serious director.
Yeah.
Like, quotations. But he's not there. He doesn't seem to understand or be aware of the situations he's dealing with.
Well, it's just like he's not a very good, like, director in general. Because, once again, the edit, if you were a decent, you would know how to edit, like, a chunk of that stuff. And unfortunately, he doesn't.
He also rips from a lot of different movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We noticed this, too. Cause
what was this movie like? Or what was it? What was
Detroit? Minority Report.
Yeah. There's a lot of similarities. Yeah.
No, wait, Heavy Rain was like Minority Report.
Yeah.
This one was, I don't know, iRobot still.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities, and it's just sort of, play it for free or very cheap. If your friend has it.
Yeah, borrow it, PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
It's, just don't spend full money on it.
Yeah,
it's not
really worth that's basically what it would boil down to. Don't spend, like, the $80 for it.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not that anymore, but we never know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Lots of trade-ins, so go and look at your local video game store, guys.
Yeah.
Go do that instead.
Yeah.
I did happen to buy a new video game. So did you. We'll have to talk about it next week. So it was a preview.
Yeah.
I finally went and spent money on Tales of Vesperia.
Yeah.
And you went and bought?
Typhoo Wrath of the Tiger.
There you go.
Yeah.
And also in the near future, Dr. Mario Mobile is coming out. So.
Wow, Megan.
Hey, it's important to me.
I'm happy for you.
I'm glad because that's exactly what I need. However, it can lead into another topic we do need to talk about, which is the monetization in games. This includes mobile games, guys.
Excellent.
So that's a thing that we have to tackle soon because it is a serious situation.
Yeah.
But we only have half an hour to talk, so that's everything we got for you for this week. And keep slacking.
Bye.